Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and I'm really excited to have back on the show, and I was texting or emailing the publicist right now saying, I want the Wiggles on quarterly. They're such a cool bunch of guys and gals, and I have a blast with them, so I want to welcome the program, the Wiggles. So hello, Wiggles. Thanks again for calling.
We're all here. We're all ready to talk, and we're so happy to be coming back to the stage.
Well, absolutely. Being one of the only education talk shows in the world, I think that when we talk about education and the Wiggles, they go hand in hand, especially, Anthony, with your background from our last interviews. But I want updates now. I want to know about a lot of things going on with you, especially the Taking Off Tour, how things have been going with the Taking Off Tour.
Well, we're going really well. At the end of last year, Greg, Jeff and Murray retired, of course, and they handed over the outfits and the direction of the Wiggles to Lockie and Emma and Simon and myself. And we've just been touring around Australia, and we've done a whole lot of remote areas, which was a fantastic tour. We toured for 6 months around Australia, and now in the States, our new TV series is just starting on Sprout, and it's called Ready, Steady, Wiggle. It's been already premiered in Canada and gone really well. And so now we're getting around, and in Australia, they've got to know Emma, our first ever female Wiggle, and all the new guys. Of course, we sing the old songs, you know, fruit salad, yummy, yummy, toot, toot, chugga, chugga, hot potato. We do new songs, Do the Propeller, a whole lot of songs, songs about, Simon Says, or we've got this allergy song, which have been doing really well on YouTube, you know, millions of hits. And things are going really well for the Wiggles, and the new energy and new direction, I'm really enjoying it, and the children are, more importantly.
Well, it's important, and before I go to the rest of the crew, I want to go basically another question, Anthony. Basically, a new group together, I mean, you're used to touring with the originals for so long. Is it difficult at first to get used to a different crew, or you guys just mesh together through this tour?
Well, you know what? We had a whole year last year where the boys said goodbye, and Emma, Simon, and Lockie came around every show we did and had three or four songs as the Wiggles in training. So I got to know them really well. What's been the hardest for me is this year is actually looking over the keyboard and not seeing Jeff there, because even before the Wiggles 22 years, I was in a rock band with Jeff for 10 years. So I've been playing on stage with Jeff for 30 years. And, I kind of miss seeing him there, but seeing that the children are really taking to the new Wiggles, and I do miss the guys, but I'm actually love the new energy as well.
When I've told my kids, who are huge fans, and now I have all the time in the world to talk to you guys about that, because the first time we had such a short period of time to be able to talk two segments and learn so much about you. But my one daughter is so excited, and we've been watching the old Wiggles episodes saying, I can't believe I've interviewed them, because it's just an absolute honor to have you guys on the show and to be able to promote what you're doing. But it also is funny, my nephew's been staying the last 2 days, and he comes back and says, when are you interviewing the Wiggles? And I said, 3 o'clock. On Thursday, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So the kids just love you. And I think that that's the key component of this, is that you show that love and attention on the stage, and the TV show is so fantastic. It just must make you feel so great.
Mate, I'll tell you what, it's the Wiggles are all built on respect of children, and we really do treasure our audience, and we know that they're different thinkers to adults, you know. Young children think differently, and we have to cater for that, and hopefully the songs inspire them to just become more of themselves, you know, become themselves and be happy with themselves at whatever level they're at, you know. We encourage them to get up and dance, you know, eat some healthy food, you know. We're just trying to encourage children to be themselves.
Well, I think that's fantastic. So let's go to the first ever female member of the Wiggles. And let's get Emma on the line, because Emma, when we were talking, now the tour, and especially in the United States and all over the place, how are they responding to Emma being in the Wiggles? What's been going on, Emma?
I'll put Emma on, but let me tell you, because she's a little bit, I guess you'd call it modest, but around Australia, there's this, they call it the Little Emma Army, where there's all these little girls dressing up like Emma. I'll put you on, Emma. Mate, good talking to you.
All right.
Here she comes.
Hello.
Hi, Emma. The question I was going to ask is basically, how have the fans responded to the first female member of the Wiggles, especially the tour and the television show debuting in Australia before it's come to the U.S.? How have they responded to this change? And also, I guess, girls, how they've liked it?
Actually, we've been touring Australia for about 6 months now. And the most exciting thing is that a lot of the children are coming to the shows, obviously with the roses for Dorothy and Bones Away, but they're starting to bring bows for me. And they're wearing big bows in their hair and bows on their shoes. And we had a show in Sydney, and there was a brother and a sister about 4 years old, and the little girl and the little boy were dressed like me.
That's so cool. And it's something that, like, you're like, now finally I'm going to get a different audience, a new audience to the Wiggles by being the first female member. Have you noticed new people coming up and saying, once I knew you were a part of it, I wanted to take my kids, especially my girls? Have you noticed that change?
A lot of the response is, why hadn't this happened earlier? I always hear Anthony say, at the time, they obviously would have if they knew that they were going to be such a success, they would have planned something and have made it, they would have had a go in it before. But because they were just four friends from university at the time, it didn't really, they didn't think that it was going to flourish. So I guess that's how it happened, and now it's definitely due, and I'm loving every second of it.
And how are you responding now being a celebrity? Emma, you probably never thought of this in your entire life that this was going to happen to you, but now being recognized all over the place, especially in Australia, how does it feel?
It's a little bit bizarre, but I think because Simon and Lockie and I, we've been on the road with the Wiggles as dancers and as other characters for the last couple of years, you do see the original Wiggles get recognised all the time. Like, we'd be out at dinner and there'd be a family and somebody would recognise Murray and he's signing the serviette to give them, And I think that when it starts happening to you, it does feel a bit surreal. And now we've got our new TV show, Ready, Steady, Wiggle, that's out now, and it's starting to become more known, and, people do recognise you. And because I do have bright red hair, you can't really mistake it half the time. And I guess it's kind of fun.
Well, absolutely. We're talking the Wiggles and member Emma. And Emma, what would you say is your favorite memory so far on tour? What would you say that, this is something I'm never going to forget?
Oh, wow. This is a sad story and a happy story, but we get to visit a lot of children in the hospitals, and we met a little girl in a hospital, and because we try and visit the same hospitals over and over again, you start to get to know the children, and we meet lots of different children, that have families that are trying to support the child in their time of grief. They might be in the hospital for years, or in there for a treatment. And we met a girl, and sadly she passed away this year.
Oh, my.
And we were just really lucky to have met her a couple of times. And we really felt like we knew her, and she loved Dorothy the Dinosaur. And, the parents were really, very appreciative that we were able to say bye to her. And not that we knew, but, we had visited her right up until she passed away. And I'll never forget it, because I felt like this job had given me the opportunity to give joy to her life, and now every time we visit the hospitals, it always reminds me of that incident. And children are so fragile that they really do need to be looked after.
Absolutely, Emma. And I think, what if it's the first time they've been to see the new group on tour, especially in the United States? We're speaking to an international audience on this radio network, but if we're talking people, especially in the U.S., what is going to be a big surprise to them next to you, would you say?
A big surprise? In the show?
Yeah, in the show.
I guess it's the newest surprise is that we sound different. Our songs, even though we sing some of the original songs, like Hot Potato and Choo Choo Chugga Chugga, we've got three voices now. Simon and Lockie are very amazingly trained musical theatre singers. And I guess the most exciting part is that I'll be driving the big red car.
Oh, wow.
And I'm really excited because I haven't really had a chance. I've only ever driven it once in Australia. So now this will be the first time.
Awesome. So, Emma, go ahead and put Simon on the line next and let Anthony know when you're talking to him off air that basically we're going to jump back to Anthony. And by the way, because we're having two segments, our co-host wants to call in because he loves the Wiggles so much. So just let him know that.
Oh. All right. Okay, I'll let you know and I'll give you to Simon.
Okay, awesome. All right, so right
bye.
Now. All right, bye-bye. That was so great. Emma is so fantastic. She does
good
follow
deal.
Me.
Hi,
Simon. And I was about to say, Emma does follow me on Twitter at Total Tutor. So hopefully that's Simon, do you have a Twitter, by the way?
Yes, I do. We all have Twitter. Simon _ Wiggle, or Anthony _ Wiggle, Emma _ Wiggle, Lockie _ Wiggle.
So are you pretty familiar with the whole Twitter thing? Are you pretty connected to it, Simon, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. All right, so Simon, this must be just an unbelievable experience touring with them, especially when you were touring as a backup dancer and things like that, and to now be one of the members of the Wiggles, it must be unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. It's been an incredible experience. I mean, I've known Anthony for close to 20 years, and I've worked with the guys on and off over the years, a lot of their backing vocals and a lot of their CDs, probably for the last 10 or so years. So I've been around it for quite a while, and then as a character, like you said, in the background, Ringo the Ringmaster, a few years ago, I started with them on a full-time level. Now it's come to this, and it's just the most amazing experience. I've had a fantastic start to the year over the last 6 months touring around Australia, and last year also was the full year we had as Wiggles in training with the, you know, with Greg Murray, Jeff and Anthony. Was invaluable. A great start to it all.
Absolutely, and I think that it must be a really exciting to be also recognized and to be able to go out there and change people's lives in some ways being a member of the Wiggles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, any sort of positive impact you can have at all in any, like a family's life or a child's life is what's important. If we can, you know, we've managed to visit a lot of hospitals and see a lot of children who are quite sick, and if we can make their life, bring a smile to their face and their parents' face at all, in any way at all, that's kind of what it's all about, really.
And what would you say would be your greatest moment so far on tour and with the Wiggles? What would you say, Simon?
Oh, it's so hard. Well, I think probably our first big concert was at Hyde Park in Sydney. It was a free concert it was on Australia Day, 26th of January, and it was a free concert, about 10,000 people. And that was our first big concert, and that was the real, okay, here we go, guys, putting on the shirts and jumping out, getting out there, and really not knowing if, you know, feeling confident what we were doing, but really not knowing if an audience are really going to take to us as the guys have been, you know, doing it, the original guys, for 22 years. And the best part was just getting out there and doing, singing that first song, Rockabye Your Bear, and the whole crowd going, loving it and cheering and singing along. And from that moment, I thought, okay, we're okay. Everything's going to be all right. Everyone trusts us, and this is going to be an incredible ride.
And
so that'll be the moment for me.
And Simon, you've not seen any difference, especially because you've been on tour with them forever. The response of the fans is the same as the original Wiggles. Wouldn't you agree? The response?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly the same. You get out there and you sing the songs and you dance, and the children are up there doing it all, and the parents are singing and dancing as well. I mean, it's, you know, it really is it's a fantastic, fantastic experience. And you know, there was some uncertainty about it originally, but as soon as we got out there, that all kind of went away. It's been amazing. And the audience, you know, it changes every few years. You know, there's always children being born, so that's kind of, there will be children who only know us as the Wiggles, you know, and so it's been really positive.
And how do you feel having your own doll and your own merchandise? Is that pretty cool too?
Yeah, I guess it is. I haven't really thought about it too much, but yeah, all that side of things, it's pretty wacky, really. But I guess it's all part of it, and you know, just embrace it. I guess it's lots of fun.
So, what message would you love to give to your fans right now, listening, about so far being a Wiggle, and just basically for them to kind of know more about you?
Well, I guess, you know, it's all about music, and music's it drives the Wiggles and life of the Wiggles, and it's about getting out there. It's about healthy living. It's about music. It's about eating well. It's about keeping fit. It's about all those basics in life, which just can tend to make life as you grow older as well, you know, a little easier and a little more enjoyable. So that's kind of the life of a Wiggle, is just setting that level of a nice, healthy, happy lifestyle.
Okay, well, fantastic. Go ahead and get Lucky on the line, and
yeah, of course. And
we're going to take a break while we get Lucky on the line. You're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and on the, again, the celebrity segment, The Beach Lifestyle. And really enjoying the conversation with the Wiggles. We've talked to Emma, we've talked to Anthony, we've talked to Simon. Now we're talking to Lucky. And I'm going to let Jared have the first question. And Jarrett, you know, has the very interesting questions. Lucky, if you remember our last interview, you've been interviewed by so many different people. But I guess when you talk about us two, no one forgets us, we hope. Jarrett, so what questions do you have for Lucky about specifically the tour, the experiences on the tour, and working with the rest of the Wiggles?
Well, what I'd really like to know is that did he have that name Lucky before he became a Wiggle, or did he get it because of his good fortune of becoming a Wiggle? But I think it is good fortune. I do feel very, very special and lucky to get it. But this is where the little bit of confusion is. We find it quite funny and entertaining on the tour. But my name is Lockie, but in America especially, and Canada as well, everyone said Lucky. So last year when we were Wiggles in training, Anthony just said, all right, it's going to be Lucky. So, you know, I went ahead and changed my Twitter name and my Facebook name to Lucky Wiggle. It's actually Lucky spelled L-A-C-H-Y. It's not a name you have in America at all, I don't think. It's, my full name's Lachlan. But that's how it came about. But I think we're going to probably go back to the Lucky thing for this American tour again, I think. It works better.
Well, Americans really would not be able to pronunciate it, and I was hoping I didn't make a mistake. I was like, is it Lachy? Is it whatever? When I first interviewed you, and then I remember everyone saying it last time. So, Lucky, ultimately, how has it felt being a Wiggle? I mean, it must be an absolute honor. You toured with them for so long, and now you are a Wiggle. After the six-month tour and also the shooting the TV show, it just must make you feel really good.
It does. It really is a very, very special opportunity, a really special part of my life, really. You know, we travel the world entertaining the children all over the world, and it really is special, and you can't really start to put it into words. It's just really just happened all so fast. This year has gone incredibly quick. We're already up to August, and it's quite scary how fast it goes. But, yeah, it just has been an absolute privilege to you know, do what the original Wiggles did for 21 years, and I really hope we can go as long with it, having so much fun, and the good energy is still so there. We're seeing that in the audiences. I think I'm in Toronto today, and the Ready Steady Wiggle, our TV series, has hit Canada, and we're getting so many good reports. And that hits the USA on Sprout in a few weeks' time, so we can't wait to start getting, you know, feedback on that as well. But yeah, it has just been a dream role so far.
So, Jared, I'm sure you're excited about the debut on Sprout. So you're going to say, wow, I know them. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, it isn't that very much.
Go, Jared.
Lucky, I wanted to, you're debuting on Sprout, and yes. I wanted to kind of focus in now on the tour. What do you and the rest of the Wiggles do on tour to prepare for your shows? I mean, there has to be so much logistically, but what do you folks do as that whole entourage to really get ready as you're moving into each new city? You know, it's a great question. We travel with a crew, so we're quite lucky in the fact that we just we get to the venue in the morning and they're already very busily setting up. We travel with like a sound engineer and stage guys, so they set up all that side. But then we get there in the morning, we'll have a bit of brekkie or something, we might go for a walk around the towns where we are, just have a look around and see what the city has, you know, to have a look at. And then we sort of get back to the venue, we'll do a big warm-up. Generally, not all together, we'll just do our own separate warm-ups. I'd do quite a bit of vocal warm-ups. I know Simon does that as well, it's just for the singing part. But then we'll do some stretches and, you know, all that, and then we'll go on and do a sound check. So by that time, the sound will all be ready on stage, so we'll go up and basically just have a jam. And I think that comes from the original guys, you know, days of rock and roll. They started in a rock band, so they just love getting up on stage, and they just jam to whatever song was in their head on the time. So, you know, I jump on the piano, and Simo plays a mean cowbell, and Anthony is on the guitar, and Emma plays the drums, and she's getting really fantastic on the drums. You know, we'd all sit around and literally play anything from pop songs to Anthony's, you know, rock and roll stuff, and then we'll sort of morph into Wiggles and
So that's a really fun part. And we dance around as well. So that's a big warm-up. And then, yeah, we go back and get in our skivvies and basically our shirts, and the show starts.
All right. Well, that's really interesting. Lucky, the question I've asked Simon, Anthony, and Emma, what has been your greatest experience on tour so far, the story that you want to tell our audience?
Oh, wow. There's quite a few. I think probably just for me personally, I think it's when you start getting it's happened at a few places on this big Australian Outback tour we did, but when the children start making signs that say, I got a fantastic sign that said, "Wake up, Lockie." It was a big, big pink sign with they cut out my face and they said, "We love to wake up, Lockie." And that's something you just don't ever really see. It makes you feel, really good. It's really, really cool to see them holding up in the audiences and holding up signs. Actually, one time we ran on stage, it was right at the start of the show. We go through the lineup. So over to, Simon says, "Hi, I'm Simon. Hi, I'm Emma." It got to me, and I was too busy reading a sign that said, "Hi, Lockie." And I was so shocked to see someone had made a sign that said, "Hi, Lockie." I completely forgot to say my name. And Anthony was obviously next. And he jumped in. He's like, "Can we just stop the show?" And he was laughing. He said, "Lockie, are you going to say your line?" I'm like, "I'm sorry. I just saw it. Sign with my name on it." So that was a big shock. That's probably one of the things.
Go, Jerry.
Oh, I wanted to kind of stay on that whole track where Neil has gone with the tour. And how important is it for you and the rest of the Wiggles to feel like you're identifying with the children in each tour stop that you're in?
Well, that's everything, really. That's what the Wiggles have set out to do from the very start, is to identify with the children. So for us, that's very important. And I think we do that. There's something in the songs, there's something in the colours and the movement and the characters, of course, Dorothy and Wags and Henry. But we just, and Captain Feathersword as well, we just find the children are up almost immediately from the very get-go of whatever song we start with, whether it's, Rockabye Bear or Point Your Fingers and Do the Twist. They all just sort of jump up, and it's really fantastic. And that's the great thing about getting to each different venue is, of course, the children are different. So we get to meet so many children, see so many happy faces, and it really is nice. So that's what we're trying to do this big tour of America.
Well, Lucky, we're going to go ahead and jump back to Anthony for some updates on the products and also St. Jude and stuff, but I appreciate you calling. So go ahead and jump on and grab back Anthony if you can.
Yes, no, I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Jared, all right, so we're getting Anthony now, but Jared, I tell you, it's always fun to talk so impromptu. I think I'm so glad we've had the experience, Jared.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Anthony. We've had the
experience.
Yeah, good. I was telling Jared, I said, I'm glad we have the experience of doing live radio for so many years before we started recording, so we can roll with the punches, especially connecting people, co-hosts on the line. Now, Anthony back. Anthony, the question I have ultimately is the great charity work you're doing with St. Jude. How is that such an important thing? It's part of this tour that really makes you happy. I heard so many comments of the members of how they've been able to help out by visiting the hospitals. How does it feel being working with St. Jude?
Well, St. Jude for almost 50 years or even longer has been, leading the battle against childhood cancer and terrible diseases that afflict children, and providing practical help and services and counselling for families affected by childhood diseases. And so we put our name behind St. Jude and made a donation of money, and also just encourage people to get behind and support St. Jude and the incredible work they do. If we can't look after children, what can we look after? The most important, precious people on the earth, I think, children. So St. Jude do an amazing job, and we're really happy to be associated with them, and really hope that they keep doing the great job they're doing.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I'm so glad that you are doing that. And Jarrett, that's a surprise. You didn't know about the whole St. Jude thing, did you, Jarrett?
I did not, and I have researched the Wiggles and know so much about them, and I am stunned, pleasantly stunned, and surprised to hear this partnership.
Oh, great, mate. No, we're all about families, all about children, and so, Judah, I just, you know, I take my hat off to everybody who works there. And Danny Thomas, of course, started it way back and just kept it going for that long, doing exemplary work for children.
And we also had John Rich on the show that's really heavily involved with St. Jude as well, from Big and Rich. I don't know if you guys are into the pop culture in the U.S., but he's a fantastic guy. He was on The Apprentice and stuff. So, Anthony, let's go ultimately also with the products that have come out, the new CD, the action figures, all the different things. How has that gone with the launch of all that as well?
Yeah, we've got a new, you know, new album and DVD coming out. First time it's just come out. It's called Taking Off, and that's the brand new Wiggles. And you know, with the new TV starting in the States next week on the Sprout network, you know, things are looking great. And I just love we can still tour around, and still children and families want to come and see us. And we'll keep that big red car out on the stage for as long as we can, because we love it.
Fantastic. Jared, any more questions for Anthony before I have to go ahead and so our listeners out there can find more information on Anthony? Anything for Jared?
Well, what I'd like to ask Anthony is all the merchandise, the products, what has been kind of the biggest surprise that the audience seems to gravitate towards?
What do you mean in the merchandise?
With the merchandise. What surprised you the most as to being something that people really appeal to the children, the audience that you're having there?
You know, over the years, there's been some the most popular thing we ever put out was a Dorothy the Dinosaur hat, which has got yellow spots and these teeth at the front, you know, where the brim is. And it's like a, you know, it covers the neck as well. And parents love it because they can pick their children out in a crowd, because you see these bright yellow spots on their heads, and you never lose your children wearing that hat. And so that's one of the best things we ever put out.
Yes, and I'm sure the marketing department did not see that happening when they were putting that merchandise out.
That's right. That's true, right? Yeah.
Well, you guys are so down to earth. Thank you for taking the time to come on the Total Tutor Show on the Total Education Network. So, Anthony, where can our listeners find more information on you, purchase the merchandise, see the closest tour where they can head out, and hopefully next year you guys tour in Pittsburgh? I hope that happens so we can hang out backstage and have a blast. But where, because I hope you come to Pittsburgh next year, but where can our listeners find all your info?
Yeah. So I hope we get out to Pittsburgh too. I love it. If you want more information about the Wiggles, here's thewiggles.com. We're also on Twitter, you know, Anthony Wiggle and Emma Wiggle. All the Wiggles are on Twitter. But we've got a brand new, our website's getting remodeled, and I think in the next couple of weeks it's going to be really fun for the kids to get on board that website. So keep watching the Wiggles website. It's having a big overhaul, and it's going to be lots of fun for the kids.
Well, thank you again. Goodbye to all the Wiggles. Tell them I love them, and I want to have you on a quarterly basis. I just sent an email to your publicist. I have a blast talking to you guys, and you're so down to earth, and we want to promote what you're doing because you're doing such great work for kids. So thanks for calling.
Thanks, Daryl. I'll tell you, mate, next time we'll take a guitar, we'll bring the guitar, and we'll sing some songs to you over the phone. Might be nice. Or even just backstage in Pittsburgh, we'll rock.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys. All right, bye-bye. You're listening,
see you guys.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Tutor Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And when I talk about the biggest loser, I guess he is my main man. And somehow we have not been in touch since May, but it seems like yesterday, the summer just went so quickly, so I want to welcome the program. Biggest Loser finalist, and I didn't even know that, so it's an honor that me and we're buddies. Mark Corneliusen. Mark, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, no problem, Neil. It's good to be back again.
It's amazing, Mark, when you think about it. Maybe I'm going to bring you on as my commentator for these Biggest Loser shows. I think you'd like that. That'd be a fun thing, and maybe we could reach out and see what happens.
Absolutely, man. I would love to do that.
Because you're just a cool guy. It's easy to reach out to you. I don't have to deal with the publicist. I love it. So, Mark, let's go specifically to where we're at. We're at the finals of the Biggest Loser. You never thought this was going to happen, did you, to be a finalist?
No, from the very beginning, I never thought that I'd make it very far. I think we maybe even talked about that, Neil. I was the smallest guy that they'd ever cast on the show. You know, still right at 300 pounds, but, you know, I'm still the smallest. And so making it as far as I did, I mean, I ended up being in the final five of the show. I mean, I just never would have guessed that that was when I originally left, Neil, I actually told people here that they should probably expect to see me back home within a couple of weeks. As it turned out, I ended up being gone almost 6 months before everything wrapped up.
And that's a challenge, especially being away from family for 6 months.
Oh yeah, it's the lack of family. I know we've talked about too the lack of communication with family. I mean, you have no while we're out there on the show, there's no communication with anybody back home. There's no communication with anybody back home other than unless you win something. I mean, it's kind of a big deal on the show that one of the things that typically becomes a prize is a Skype. Little time at home to see people back at home, family and friends, or to win letters or something like that. But so for me, making it as far as I did, I tell people all the time, you know, the physical part of it was really not as terrible in the long run as you would think it would be. I mean, within a few weeks, you're actually feeling much better. You're gaining confidence because of what you're able to do. You're seeing the weight come off. It's all of that really gets better. It's the entire time. It's the mental side of it, of being away from home, being around a lot of people that you're having to develop relationships with in a very dramatic environment, I guess you could say. So I was really surprised at how far I lasted, because it just didn't seem like I was one of those guys that would be out there very long.
And that's very surprising, Mark, in a lot of ways to have that. And what family did you leave at home? I know your son was involved with you in this thing, but what about what family did you leave behind?
Well, yeah, Chisholm was with me there. He was there for 3 months before he got sent home. Okay. And then I have a younger son and a daughter as well as my wife. And so we're really, really close family. Chisholm's girlfriend is very much part of our family as well. So she was obviously back here. So. A lot of our family lives right here in the area. So it was a really big deal. They're very much a strong support for me and for Chiz. And so for us to go away from that was really, really big deal, really difficult.
It's amazing to think to be away from family that long and to be able to keep going, especially when you had a weight issue. You didn't have a huge weight issue, Mark, compared to other contestants, but you still were out of shape and obese. That to know to be away from your family for so long, and there was no result in this whole thing. You're basically off of work. So what were you doing before you left? What was your job?
Well, I have been for about 17 years. I've been a youth pastor with a church. And been working with teenagers for a very, very long time. And the church that I was in, I actually had earned a sabbatical, which is like a two-month time period where once a pastor has been in a location for a long time, for in a church for a long time, they get some time off to kind of just reboot and reflect. And my church, when this whole opportunity came up, said, you know, you're due for sabbatical. Why don't you use your time? We can use that time for that. And then we lumped in vacation time for a couple of years and just everything we could. I mean, they were very, very gracious about making it work out. And then when I came back, it had a huge support system through my church and a lot of people that were rooting for us and walked right back into my position and walked into a really loving environment. So, I mean, that helped too. But, you know, you're talking about that, Neil, to keep going. I mean, that's what it was for me out there. I was, uh, is I was going, if I'm going to be giving up this time, if I'm going to miss, you know, stuff that's going on with my other son and my daughter, if I'm going to miss this time with my wife and miss this time in ministry with the students that I really cared about, then I'm going to make the very most of this experience. I'm going to get every possible thing out of it. And that really was my motivator each day. I definitely wanted to get healthy. I definitely wanted to be better. But the thing that kept me pushing was to go, you know what, I'm giving up a lot by being here, so I want to make sure that I walk away having taken a lot back home with me. And it just, you know, it was just an incredible thing that it just every single week I just kept losing the weight and I kept hanging in there. It's been pretty, and even since, it's just been really, really outstanding.
And, I mean, just to be doing that. So, first of all, you have that family, your wife's supportive, everyone's supportive, and then you're at the finals. Here's where we're at. You're so shocked. But now let's go into specifically the stress being the finalist. What's happening now? What's happening in your mind? How are you competing? You don't know how everything's going because, again, none of this is aired on television. And that's the other process. You're going through parts that have been aired. You've missed what's happened on the show. And now when you return, you're able to watch some of it afterwards. Like, I have friends that are Real Housewives. I have friends that do all these reality shows, Mark. And they get to see the entire thing happen before their own eyes because they taped it. This thing's not happening because it's such a long period of time.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, what's really crazy is we get a little – you kind of get a little bit of a feel of kind of the opinion of people for the season and for how they're viewing it. But for the most part, we really don't have a clue what's going on outside of that. And so – To get to the end and actually, I mean, even at the point that we got home and we actually got to see the episode and stuff, it was very interesting, kind of the editing process that goes through and how people were seeing each one of us and where we were. And, you know, we get to the final part of this. And like I said, I was in the final five of the 20 people that were originally on the show. And, by the time you get to that point, I don't know about other seasons. I know a lot of the contestants that have been on The Biggest Loser, but speaking for ours where we are, by the time we got to that point, I mean, the last five, six, seven of us, we were incredibly close. We were all very, I don't hesitate saying we're good friends, and we're still all very good friends and still communicate with each other and connect. So we're not really thinking as much about, hey, the final, who's going to get to win this money, you know, kind of, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're just wanting to finish this really strong, and there's a lot of sense of care for one another and wanting each other to do really well and wanting to, you know, to see each person succeed. One of the things that's so different to me as far when you talk about The Biggest Loser is, you know, this Amazing Race and all these other shows that are out there, which are great shows that end up with somebody winning money. For me, if you go on The Biggest Loser and you listen and you commit and you work hard, the money is just pretty minor. I mean, if you make it to the end and win that, that's not the big deal. The big deal is the life that you get out of it. And so by the end, that's what we're all looking at in each other. And we're going, how do we motivate each other and care for each other beyond the television show? Because we've all gotten an incredible gift here, and somebody's going to walk away with some cash, but that's not really as important as what we've gotten with our health. And so these people, by the time we got to the final part of it, I mean, we're out there with friends. We're not really as much out there trying to see who can beat each other. I mean, it's more about celebrating the journey we've been on and going through this together.
Okay, so Mark, now basically we know you did not win this, so tell us, did you think you had a shot? Or because of your size, that was probably the hardest part of trying to come to win this, because you're not going to lose as much weight as some of the other contestants.
Right, and Neil, I don't know if you remember this from with our season or not.
See, I did not get to watch that season. Yeah, so then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, we got to the final five, and we had one of the really one of the more dramatic seasons. That's probably the most dramatic season that's been on The Biggest Loser, just as far as how they edited things and did things. And we got near the end, and there were five of us left, and we ended up getting some information that we weren't supposed to get, believe it or not, that about how the former contestants were going to be were really going to be treated by a challenge thing they were going to do. And we, as the final five, had a lot of issue with that because we cared about these people and we cared about what was going on with them. And so we essentially, with the little bit of power that we had being contestants, kind of halted the show and said, listen, we want to talk to y'all about this. Something different needs to happen. And legally, there's still a lot that I can't discuss about it, but just know, I mean, it was just one of those things where we sat down and said, you know what, guys, you don't have to do this to these people that have already been sent home. You don't have to give them false hope. You don't have to run them through this whole process again. And the show basically came back to the five of us and said, you know what, we understand you guys aren't happy. We understand that you're struggling with what we're going to do, but we're going to do it. And if you don't like that, you can either finish out the 2 weeks that you have left here on the show, or you can go home. And myself and one of the other contestants were both pastors, and we just truly felt that, you know what, we couldn't stay out there and go, you know what, you just get to treat people however you want to for a TV show. And so with 2 weeks left, we actually walked off the show. Went home. We were told by all the all the producers and stuff, you'll never have a voice, you'll never have an impact, everybody's just gonna always remember you as the quitters who didn't stay on the show. And you know what, we were really okay with that, because it was more important. And like I said, I mean, when you get to the end like that, we literally were, I believe, 15 days away from when everything wrapped up for all of us to go home. When you get to that point, I mean, we're there with friends, so it was not it was less about the competition, and we're also out there, we all had gotten so much in the way of our health, and that's what we went there for. And so for us to go home, and for even some of the things that were being said about, oh, you're just going to quit, I told people, and still have told people to this day, I never quit the show, I just left, because I'm still healthy, and I went there to get healthy, and that's what I got. I didn't quit on my health. I just walked away from a TV show that I felt like was not treating people the way that they needed to be treated. So it was an interesting deal because of the legal side of it, because of the contract and stuff. We have no freedom to really talk about everything that went on, and yet the show had complete freedom to kind of spin that and edit it however they want. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest, they didn't make us. It was Buddy Shue was the other contestant that walked out with me, and they did not make us look terrible. They were genuinely pretty okay, but it was really hard. America assumed that which I think we do a lot with reality shows, assume that what you see on TV is the absolute full story, so there's no reason to try to find out anything else. And for about a week, it was. A lot of people really hammered us really hard in the news and the online stuff, and TMZ tried to hunt us down for a while. And,
gosh,
I mean, it was
a
pretty crazy time.
I definitely didn't watch that season, or I might have watched that season, and that's why I'm going to have to. Netflix is my friend, Mark. If you know all these celebrity friends I have now, and I don't know if you friended me on Facebook. I'm following your fan page. I don't know if we're friends on Facebook, but you would be shocked at the different people that I interview every week, and it's just friendships develop. Radio is so cool in so many ways. I love that, and it's such.
I need to add you on Facebook. I'll look for you.
Neil S. Haley, so you can kind of check all that stuff out, and I'll definitely post you this week because to talk about the whole Biggest Loser thing, because I never knew that story. So Mark, basically when you did this, it must have, how did your family feel? And then we're gonna have to take a break, and we're gonna do one more segment if you're available to kind of find out life after, because I have the time, and we'll put you on as a big deal, especially for September seasons on the Celebrity Show. But Mark, one more question before we take a break. Basically, how did your family feel you quitting? I know that they understood that, but it must have just really shocked, especially, oh, you're there and now you just come home. How did the family and friends feel about that?
It was really interesting because when I left, I mean, my wife and I, we work together, and so we're incredibly close. And, you know, one of the struggles, like I said, was just being gone that long. But I still remember her telling me at one point, she said, you know what, you got to go do this. This is all of everything had come together. I mean, God had worked up all the details for time away. And she was like, you've got to do this. But I remember thinking how strange this was as she said it. But she said, when the point comes that it's time for you to come home, just come home. And she didn't say when it's time for you to get voted out or when you don't lose enough weight or whatever, but she specifically said it that way. And the whole time I was on the show, I was like, that's a really weird kind of thing to say. But I think even in that, she kind of just had a sense that you just never knew how this was going to go. So when I showed up home, man, I tell you what, I had just a huge welcoming from family and friends, and people were just excited that I was back. And people that could see me and that I could get to visit with about just everything. I mean, there was just no question everything that I had gained from being on the show, and really nobody could be mad about that. I did have some people that were that I wouldn't really say were friends, or just kind of people who knew me that questioned me and wanted to know why, you know, what was going on and all that. But when I look at my close friends and my family, man, there was nothing but total acceptance and just excitement for the new person that really I had become because of having lost all the weight and gotten healthy.
All right, when we get back, more of Mark Cornelson, Nielsen. I always mess this up, and I've tried my best on those things. And I am a Neil, so Neil and Mark Cornelison. But I'm sure people have fouled that up, especially in the South, in specific ways. When we get back with Mark from The Biggest Loser, we're going to learn about life after The Biggest Loser. You're listening to Told Education Celebrity Show on the Told Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Told Education Celebrity Show on the Told Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm with Mark Cornelison, Biggest Loser finalist. But guess what? He didn't get voted off. So he's one of the only, maybe it's called the Guinness Book of World Records, that decided to quit when he was a finalist. His buddy and him, they decide to walk off the ranch, which that takes gumption, but that also takes character and faith to go ahead and do something like that, Mark. So when you returned, you really did have more buzz than maybe the person who finished second in The Biggest Loser, and that probably helped you when The Biggest Loser producer said you'd never become anything, right? Based on what you did and how you never lost, that helped.
You know, it, that's exactly true. In fact, Buddy and I have talked about that since the show. You know, there was a lot of the people that are on the show, when you get to the end of it and you do that final, you're on the scale and everybody sees what your number was, there's a lot of scrutiny with that. I mean, people are always watching. We definitely have still had people that watch us. But I don't know, we've been able to almost blend back into life. And we did go back to finale, and we did get to see our friends weigh in and stuff, but we were in the audience as opposed to being up on the stage. And I think that's made a big difference for kind of how we've carried life beyond the show, not having that big final moment where everybody's watching us and trying to basically kind of judge what and who they think we are based on the TV show. So it's been real different for us, for sure.
So the buzz is huge, as you said. TMZ's chasing after you. You get back, and you know for a fact, doing this reality show, one thing is to get your health in order, to get healthy.
Absolutely.
And that was your number one thing. But however, you need, especially with 6 months of no salary, really, you got to figure out a way to benefit from this and also benefit with other people and take your now celebrity status and go with it. And I know, in a man of faith, but you say, well, maybe I can use this as a ministry to help grow my ministry and also reach out to lots of pastors to get people healthy. So tell us specifically life after The Biggest Loser. You get home, you relax for a bit, but then, you know, I got to capitalize on this, right?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, I guess it's how you see that phrase of capitalize. For me, I went, you know what, there's so many people. I mean, I believe for our season, there were somewhere upwards of 110,000 people across America that applied for the show from the very beginning, TV show, or I'm sorry, online or casting calls. And ultimately 20 of us made it onto the ranch. And there's a lot of people that want that help. So I left the show. So, in fact, Buddy and I both did, but I left and said, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that really want this. How can we give this to people and take some of the things we've learned? Because we've got this national spotlight. We've got this people see us and they know who we are for at least a season. And, you know, let's do something with that. And, you know, like I gotta say, I never had any kind of goal of getting rich or trying to, and a lot of guys go on reality shows, and that's kind of the thing, is how do I make some money? How do I, you know, what does this look like for me beyond this? How can I, you know, make something from this? I can tell you honestly, I mean, my main thing was, you know, I wanted to go and get healthy for my family and for just the ministry that I have. But then once we got done, I was like, how can I help people out with this? And so my wife and I have traveled. In fact, Buddy has as well. We've traveled all over the country, going and speaking to everything from schools to a lot of churches, even done some stuff with some businesses. We've led some exercise programs. We put together a kind of an 8-week get yourself going kind of an exercise thing that we do with people, and just gotten to go share a whole lot of answering questions about, hey, tell us about Life on The Biggest Loser, tell us about reality TV, to health and fitness. Got to meet tons of people, got to encourage a lot of people, and really, that to me has been the most rewarding thing of all of this, is just getting to go out and meet people and help people. And, you know, I look at it very, very much that this audience and this opportunity, that God brought this about for me, and this wasn't really for me to go try to figure out how I'd better my life out of it by making money or something, but more so, how do I get to do something with it that's going to benefit, you know, what God's wanting me to do, what God's blessed me with? How do I get to share that with other people? And so it has been, it's been pretty awesome. And like I said to you earlier, you know, some of the conversations we had when we walked off the show, we were told, you'll never have a voice, you'll never, you'll always be the quitters. And I tell you what, it's amazing the opportunities that we have had that just continue. Next month, or actually in a few weeks, is 2 years since I was on the show, since we started filming for the show. And we still are just continuing to get opportunities to go speak and to go share with people. Buddy and my wife and I have a website that we connect with people, and we've got a Facebook group that connects, and people still just will send us questions, and we just, you know, we try to be very open and very available to just help. And it's amazing when you do that, it just seems like it just keeps on going. So the number one word that I would use to describe the last couple of years since the show ended has just been fun. We've just had a really good time. We've just enjoyed life. We've enjoyed people. And just, you know, it's been a crazy journey, but it's just been absolutely awesome to get to make a difference in the lives of people all over the place.
So basically you still can keep your youth pastor job and still go travel over the country, because they know that that's a good part of, it helps promote the church as well, right? By going out and doing this, or what do they see?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've actually done. I had to do a lot of stuff where for a season where it was kind of using my days off and stuff to scheduling things. I've actually just at the end of the summer here, I have taken on a new position, working for a mission organization. So I'm actually no longer with my church. Pretty much as of last week, we've been building up to this for the summer, and It's actually a mission organization that we have used with my church. I'm still going to be at the church, just not working there, for many, many years. And it's going to be about continuing to connect with people, but actually giving them opportunities to go and help children pretty much around the world in a lot of different places. There's a lot to this new position, but it's really, really cool. But one of the things that's great about that is this position allows me a lot of freedom to be able to go speak and to go meet people and to continue doing that. So it's something that the church allowed me to do and open some doors, but it kind of has gotten to the point where didn't want to be taking advantage of that. And when I feel like there's this new opportunity in front of me, so yeah, they were great for a season of letting me go speak and do some of that. But now we're at a place where now I got a new job, and that's going to be part of what I get to do is just travel around and visit and open doors for connecting with people. So yeah.
I remember when we talked, Mark, before that you said everyone has come to, you know, hawk a product or do certain things. What keeps you grounded in that way to say, you know, that this is just, you just want to get the message out. You're looking at your brand in certain aspects, but however, you're not going to just be a promoter of everybody's stuff. What was the reason? Because I remember our first interview, you told me that.
Yeah, this is just me as a person, even before the show, I just think there's a lot more to this life than stuff and all that kind of stuff. I just, you know, my faith in God is incredibly significant in my life. It's all that I have, and I just think that He is big enough to take care of all of my needs. I mean, He says that in His Word that He can meet all of our needs. So I don't really worry about doing that. I mean, have there been times in my life that I've been like, oh, I really don't know where the next paycheck's going to come from or something, and we've struggled maybe a little bit? Sure, but I've never, ever been in want. And so I've never been in a place where I haven't seen God come through and say, you know what, I'm taking care of you.
And that's right.
What I do with my life is about, okay, hey, you know what? Lord, my thing is I want people to know who you are. I want them to know about Christ. I want them to know that. And as long as I'm listening to you and I feel like I'm going in the direction that you have for me, then I know you're going to take care of all the peripheral stuff that a lot of people seem to think is super important. So for me, coming off this show and seeing some of that, I know there's a lot of people that they've done really well with all their books and things like that, and that's great for them, but I just never has been my thing. That didn't change when I went on the show, that suddenly now I was going to kind of focus on those things. That's just part of who I am. And I just and continuing that on. And you know, He's been continues to be incredibly faithful. And like I said, we've gotten great opportunities to meet and connect and encourage people. And I think part of that is because we're not trying to sell them something. We're not trying to talk something. I mean, it's just we just get to have a real honest conversations, and they get to see, I don't know, maybe they see a side of TV, and they go, maybe not everybody in Hollywood is all like that, you know? I don't know. But, it definitely worked.
And so basically, do you ever plan on writing a memoir or never?
You know, I've had a few people come some really good friends and some people that have become friends since the show that have really encouraged me to write, especially because of how things ended up. There's so much to that, and there really is a lot about what happened behind the scenes as far as what God was doing with all of us and just how relationships were built. So I'm definitely going to be working on putting some things down and maybe putting a book together, but that really hadn't been my priority up to this point, but I see it coming in the future and be taking time to be able to do that. So,
okay. So Mark, please stay on the line after we finish our interview, cause I want to talk to you for a couple minutes and see how we can schedule our next deal. But, where can our listeners, find more information on you, find all the different places you're traveling to and what you're doing? What's the website?
Sure. Yeah. You can go on Facebook and look for our page, or you can go to the website, which is Sweat Core. So it's SweatCor. And so it's sweat, just like when you work out, and core, which is for our last name, C-O-R, Cornelson. So, and it's just sweatcore.com. And they can look for us there. They can email us. I mean, we basically, there's no cost to anything. I mean, it's just, we just try to be available, and it's been really cool. We have a lot of people that, I think I said earlier, ask us a lot of questions about health and stuff, and we just try to create kind of a community where people can get some feedback and some encouragement, and hopefully this can help some people that are out there. But we also have our schedule on there of places that we're traveling and speaking and some of the things we're doing. I've also, Buddy Shue was a contestant. His schedule's on there as well, so people can...